Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is true, I do suffer from generic white guy face. I do look like a lot of folks, so it is not unusual for me to be mistaken. And I've never been the best at this. I'm not even third. But I appreciate your time, your attention, and that you and your family braved the cold today to come here and worship with our community. This is the second Sunday after Epiphany. We have the joy of reflecting together on the call of God in our lives. We'll read two different passages from the lectionary this morning, both of which involve people called into a deeper relationship with the divine. We bring a lot of questions to a story like this, don't we? Are the people in these stories special people that they get to hear God? Or is God calling all of us in our own way? Are we called into a specific job or a specific role? Or is it our job to follow God daily in whatever is called for in that day or that season of life? In a lot of the call stories in the Bible, the person called protests, especially if they're called to be a prophet or a priest. They say things like, "Well, I'm not a good enough person. Surely you don't mean me." Or they say, "I'm not a good speaker. I stumble over my words." Or they say, "I'm too young," or "I'm too old." Those called often protest when they hear or feel God calling them. But when that call is persistent in our lives, can we put our trust not in our own ability, but in the one who calls us? As we read together our scriptures for the day, let's begin with a prayer. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, turn on the light of truth and wake up our hearts by the word we now declare and ponder. And in these ancient pages, let us find fresh life, fresh hope, and fresh courage for witness in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our first reading, as you just heard, is of the calling of Samuel. To understand Samuel, it is important also to understand his mother. I don't know if any of you are also Southern young men whose mothers had a large influence on their life, but you can all learn a lot by somebody by getting to know their mother. Hannah struggled to conceive, and when she eventually gave birth to Samuel, she dedicated him to God as she had promised. And at around the age of 3, she took him to the temple, where he lived under the care of Eli to be trained. And as Samuel grew up, however, the state of the priesthood under Eli's family grew worse and worse. Eli's sons took no care for the offerings of the people, and they extorted their gifts and offerings to fill their own bellies and to line their pockets. And so, it's with a young boy named Samuel in the temple at Shiloh that is being run corruptly by Eli's family that we hear our first reading for today. Let's listen for God's word to us from 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 19 verses. Now the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under Eli, and the Lord's word was rare at that time, and visions weren't widely known. One day, Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. God's lamp had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's ark was. The Lord said to Samuel, the Lord called to Samuel. "I'm here," he said. And so Samuel hurried to Eli and said, "I'm here, you called me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." So he did. And again the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "I'm here, you called me?" "I didn't call, my son," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the Lord's word hadn't yet been revealed to him. And yet a third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "I'm here, you called me?" And then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls to you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down where he'd been. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling just as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Now the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of all who hear it tingle. On that day, I will bring to pass against Eli everything I said about his household, every last bit of it. I told him that I would punish his family forever because of the wrongdoing that he knew about. His sons were cursing God, but he wouldn't stop them. Because of that, I swore about Eli's household that his family's wrongdoing will not be reconciled by sacrifice or by offering." Samuel lay there until morning, and then he opened the doors of the Lord's house. Samuel was afraid to tell that vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel, saying, "Samuel, my son." "I'm here," Samuel said. "What did he say to you?" Eli asked. "Don't keep anything from me. May God deal harshly with you and worse if you hide from me a single word from everything that God said to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. "He is the Lord," Eli said. "He will do as he pleases." So Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not allowing any of his words to fail. And our second reading is from the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus is followed by a couple of disciples of John the Baptist, and after he points to Jesus as the Lamb of God, then our reading begins the next day after those two disciples, Andrew and Peter, left John the Baptist and began following Jesus. So now let us listen for God's word to us from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son, from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here is a genuine Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you that all of y'all will see heaven open and God's angels going up and down to earth on the human one." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Our early 20s can be a tumultuous time for a lot of people, and it was so for me. I came to a personal crossroads when it came to how I was going to spend my life. And looking back on this time, I have a lot of grace for myself. Our society puts a lot of emphasis on what we do for a living. It's often the second question someone asks when they meet you. "Hi, what's your name? What do you do?" we say. And the answer to "what do you do?" isn't, "Well, I'm a father," or "I build Legos as a hobby," or "I pull for the Tennessee Vols." No, the answer they're expecting is, "What do you do for a job? What is your vocation?" That's the worldly understanding of vocation. That individualistic notion it was coupled with these economic pressures after I had graduated college. I did have to pay rent somehow. And that individualistic notion and those economic pressures really left me agonizing with what I was going to do with my life. And I thought that what I was going to do was going to be just this one thing, that there was going to be this one answer that God had for me. And all this other stuff that I was doing to make ends meet, substitute teaching, stocking shelves at a Bath and Body Works, umpiring Little League baseball. What else did I do? I taught the percussion section at a high school in the neighboring county. And all of these things must not be part of my true vocation, because my true vocation will be this one thing that I'm supposed to do when I grow up. I think we're conditioned to feel this pressure every time we as children are asked by curious and well-meaning grown-ups, what do you want to do when you grow up? Do you remember what you said when you were asked that question growing up? What did you want to do when you grew up? For me, my answer shifted around at different ages. Sometimes I would say professional baseball player. Sometimes I would say country music singer. Sometimes I would say teacher, and loads of other things. And when we're asked that question about what we want to do, unfortunately, it's implied that the answer will be one thing. One thing. And now I look at my life, and I still love playing organized sports. And I still love playing music and writing. And I absolutely love teaching. And all of those interests and skills are still a part of who I am, even if some of them don't make me any money. In fact, they often cost me money. But one thing we don't talk about all that often when we read these call stories like Samuel's in Scripture is how many people set Samuel up for success and how many people helped him hear what God was calling him to do.